This is The Radical Therapist, a space where we explore the intersections of collaborative therapy, philosophy, art, and science and technology in a post-Freud, post-psychology world.
Welcome to The Radical Therapist. This is your host, Chris Hoff. We are now at episode number 45. And it's going to be a special one today. Very excited to invite you into this conversation that happened between a couple of colleagues of mine, Brian Doster and Dawn Marie Luna, who, you know, had a conversation around, well, it's been an interesting week. Interesting is not the right word, but we've lost a couple of prominent folks, Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain this week. And Dawn Marie and Brian are going to talk about Kanye West or use that as kind of a starting point for a conversation around hip-hop, which has been taking on a lot of themes around mental health recently, and kind of explore that a little bit and kind of talk about Kanye West, who has become or has been for quite some time really kind of a controversial figure. Arguably an artistic genius, but also very controversial in various communities. So excited to bring you that conversation. Before I do, real quick, I need to plug it. Please, if you could, go rate and review the show on iTunes. That helps us get out in front of everybody. If you like these conversations, you like what's happening, and you want to make sure other people get to participate in them, please go and just, you know, rate and review the show on iTunes. Just go. It's really easy. It'll take you a minute, and it would be much appreciated by us if you did that. And then also, this conversation actually is a very nice video on the Radical Therapist YouTube channel. So you can go there right now and watch it and see Brian and Dawn Marie in all their glory talking. And so it's a great video. Many thanks to Jesse Dollimore, our producer, I don't know, technician, everything. He does everything for doing such a great job on the video. You really have to see it. It came out really, really nice. So go check that out at the Radical Therapist YouTube channel. And when you do, hit the bell. Hit the bell, subscribe to the channel, like, comment, tell us what you think. And that would be really groovy. Yeah, I guess, that's it. I guess I'm done plugging. But anyway, so please always share the podcast or the YouTube channel or the different videos on your respective social medias, and we would really appreciate it. So anyway, but okay, let me get you right into the conversation. Brian Doster and Dawn Marie Luna are colleagues of mine. I've had the privilege to get to work with them both at California Family Institute. Dawn Marie is now at the Child's Institute in Long Beach, California. And Brian Doster is still at California Family Institute and also joining my private practice. So I'm really happy that that's happening. And so he'll be building a practice here in Southern California, Costa Mesa, California, and just a wonderful therapist. So, and what they're going to talk about, this is a discussion they had where they talked about the intersectionality of hip hop, Kanye West, mental health. They tackle the topics of Kanye West, the stigma of mental health, the rejection of Kanye West, and they also talk about his most recent album, Ye, which I've listened to. I know that as they say, I crossed the picket line. Well, they actually had me listen to the album, and I really thought it was it's a good album. So I don't know if you've heard it yet. You probably should. It'll give you some context to the conversation they're having, but regardless of all the controversy and all that stuff swirling around Kanye, that album, that newest album, is really good. I actually listened to it with Michelle in the car today on the way to breakfast again because she wanted to hear it too because of how I was talking about it. So, well, that's that. Anyway, and I know some people are boycotting that album, but I did listen to it, and there you have it. So But anyway, so, you know, without further ado, I'm going to turn you over to the conversation between Don Marie and Brian.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Brian Doster, and this is The Radical Therapist. I am an associate marriage and family therapist based out of Costa Mesa, California, where I see clients at California Family Institute under the supervision of Dr. Chris Hoff, who is the host of The Radical Therapist. On this morning, or this afternoon, I have the extreme privilege of sitting with my colleague and friend,
Don Marie Luna, and I'm also an associate marriage and family therapist, currently working out of Long Beach at Children's Institute. And it is a pleasure and an honor to be here with you, Brian, and thank you, Dr. Chris Hoff, for allowing us to use this platform. So it's, yeah, I'm honored to be here.
So we know that mental health has been at the center of, I guess, center of society at this point in time, right? We've been dealing with different issues such as Parkland, mm-hmm. right? And too often it's when issues of like mass shootings that the media begins to interject this conversation about mental health, right? And one of the things that came to me, and I think came to us, is that through mental health, there has become this these unsuspecting allies. And the unsuspecting allies came through hip-hop. Would you agree?
I agree, yeah.
And how do you see that they've become allies in the fight against mental health?
I feel as though that right now, it's blatantly being stated in their using their platforms on their albums. We hear artists like Kid Cudi, artists like Jay-Z and Kanye West, also Drake and many other artists who are speaking about their mental well-being and what's that like for them in their lives and how is that looking for them in their lives. So, yeah.
Which is quite astonishing. I don't know if you see it that way, but for me, it's quite astonishing. One, because from my perspective, majority or all of them are black males, right? And they're men, where men have not necessarily in society been encouraged to really tap into their feelings.
Agreed.
And so we find ourselves at this point being able to have a more robust conversation in regards to mental health because these gentlemen have become so brave mm-hmm. in having this type of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like that, you know, stereotypically the masculine form, whether it be men or masculine presenting people in general, are not allowed to express themselves, not allowed to be in tuned with, you know, their emotions. And so we're seeing a shift in that with the platform of hip hop, and it's epic. I'm enjoying it. I'm here for it. Yeah. I'm ready to have this conversation.
Yeah, so I'm excited because one of the things that come up is we read this article that you shared with me from, I think it was The Pitch, where there was one line in it. It said, therapy is gangsta, right? Like, therapy just became cool. Therapy has now become acceptable. And so what brings us here today is a recent album that was released by a pretty prolific individual in the hip hop game,
yes.
which is
Kanye West.
Kanye West. Right. Like
the one and only.
The one and only. We're here to talk about Kanye West and his recent album entitled Yay.
Yay.
Right.
Shall we start there?
Well, let's first, before we do that, let's talk about Kanye. And before we go there, let me talk about this. Let me say that we are here to discuss the story
yeah.
that Kanye is wanting to tell
yes.
in his recent album entitled Yay, yeah. right? We're really here. Our goal as mental health professionals, as therapists, we are not here to assess him, assess his mental well-being. What we are here to do is to talk about what Ye wants to communicate to the masses about his mental health. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, focusing on humanizing him, his story he has to tell, I think is important, and letting go of all of the labels that are being put on him, and just kind of let's hear what he has to say. Let's talk about that.
I agree. To be clear, The views here expressed belongs to myself as well as Don Marie. You probably will get upset. You might not agree, and that's okay. So right now I'm going to ask that you forgive me. What about you?
Sure, yes. Let's practice forgiveness.
We're going to practice forgiveness in that moment. And then if you don't forgive me, it's all good, because I'm okay being an opinionated person and sharing my thoughts. All right?
Yeah.
So let's step into, who is Kanye West?
Well, that is a complex question.
It is.
He's an artist.
Okay.
He's an artist. He's a father.
Okay.
He's a son.
Okay.
I would say he's a leader of our generation.
Okay.
And I feel also a genius, artistic genius. So that's what, for Kanye West, what is he for you?
So let me be honest, right? Prior to us having engagement via text message, I had minimal knowledge of Kanye West, right? So let me help you understand what I knew about Kanye West. I knew about Donda West. I knew about Kim Kardashian. I knew about Amber Rose. I knew about Taylor Swift. Like, that's what I knew about Kanye West. And upon doing more research around who he is, I too can come to the conclusion that he is this prolific artist of our day.
Yeah.
I can come to the conclusion confidently that he is a genius. And there were times that he names himself as the Walt Disney, mm-hmm. the Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. He even referred to himself as the Leonardo da Vinci, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And prior to this, I would have been like, something's wrong with Kanye.
Right.
Why would he even think that? Who is he to right. even believe that he could set himself in that same genre, that same aura, that same platform? Mm-hmm. However, he has done some pretty incredible things.
Yeah. And so I first met Kanye literally in 2004 when he was on his college dropout tour in Fresno.
Okay.
So yeah, found out he was going, took my little brother. We went over there. We met him. It was cool. And kind of just been a lover of his music ever since then, his art. And I think that just listening to him and following him, you know, I've been a witness of his career and the little life that he allows us into in terms of like his personal life, his mother, all of that. So I feel as though that I was able to hear his message and recognize when he called himself the Da Vinci, the Picasso, and I'm like, yeah, I see it. Because I'm looking at him from a hip hop perspective as well, and what he does to sound and what he does for other artists, production and things like that. And then we see him go into fashion and what does that mean? And his idea of don't look at me as a rapper, look at me as an artist. And so, yeah.
Yeah. The thing about Kanye for me is too often when a figure such as Kanye does things outside of societal approval, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. When they do things so almost rambunctious, there's immediately this idea of, Is he mentally ill?
Right.
Right. Right. Is something wrong with him?
Right.
We're watching Kanye go through a mental breakdown. Right. Right. Now, no one has assessed him. No one has been his therapist. We just sit up far as amateur or pseudo therapists and begin to diagnose him. Right. What would be your thoughts about that?
No. Yeah, I agree. I definitely feel like that's what's happening. That's what's happening. We see him. If anything, you know, his Taylor Swift moment. He was intoxicated, mm-hmm. but does that make him mentally ill?
Right.
You know? And then I'm not sure if he was intoxicated when he interrupted Beck, but he did, you know, there's that. And then just recently learned, from watching an Ellen episode, he moved out of the country after Taylor Swift. Mm. And so for me, I'm just like, again, how he speaks to white supremacy, how he speaks to institutional racism, and he experiences that as he entered the fashion industry. And so I feel like that he's trying to tell us that through his music. Mm-hmm. And the Ye album is no different. It's just talking about it on a whole other level, much more intimate, mm-hmm. I feel. He's giving us a lot of vulnerability.
Absolutely. And before we get there, because we definitely will, let's talk about the stigma. Mm-hmm. of mental health mental illness. You know, I'm not, you know, that kind of
right.
shakes me the wrong way at times.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about the stigma of it and what does it mean to for there to be a stigma of mental health?
The lack of utilization of services, mm. you know, just us, and I say us as people of color, not really tapping into what's around us. I mean, and it's because of a history of being abused and taken advantage of through the system of health, mm-hmm. you know. So why would we go and find therapists to some random person, mm-hmm. you know? And so as Kanye often says, that he uses the world as his therapist, and he appreciates that empathy, mm-hmm. probably because how can he trust someone, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's heavy. Stigmatization is heavy.
It is very heavy because recently on my Facebook post, I talked about people viewing mental health through this lens of an insane asylum.
I've read right? that.
Mm-hmm. They view mental illness, mental health through the homeless citizens who are walking the streets, and they may see them talking to themselves. And so people are afraid to be identified with this idea of therapy. Mm-hmm. Like, because I wouldn't need therapy if I don't need to be in an insane asylum. I'm not talking to myself. So why would I need to see a therapist, and why would my mental health need to be approached or dealt with? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I agree with you. I feel like that it's this idea of talking to another individual that you don't know about, you know, your family life, that you just, it's like what stays in the home, what happens in the home happens in the home.
Right.
We don't ever take it out,
right.
you know, and we're especially not going to take it out with somebody who may not look like us.
Absolutely.
You know, and maybe if they do look like this, how do I know if I can trust them?
Absolutely.
So there's all these barriers. And so it's a matter of how do we get across those barriers? And a question that comes up for me is, with a lot of artists like Kanye West speaking about mental health, I wonder, will there be an increase of mental health services? Like, is there going to be like a sudden boom?
And can
like,
we get an increase?
Right.
I mean, that's a fair question, right? I mean, we need a boom in.
Yeah. Is it going to be an impact,
right.
right? Will there be an impact on our generation who's listening
right.
to this music, right.
Right?
right? Will it drive us to seek
right.
or create?
Right. Well, listen to this. If hip-hop can influence fashion, if they can influence language...
A whole culture.
If they can influence... Yeah, if they have the power to influence this whole culture, how about us actually listening to the hip-hop artists and them influencing mental health and how it is funded, how we have resources? I think that's a brilliant idea. Back to you.
Okay.
All right. So ultimately, I think our goal, one, is to shift the narrative, right?
Yeah.
And I think as therapists of color, right, that's really one of the reasons I got into the mental health field, is because I wanted to shift that narrative, and I wanted people to know that it's okay to see and talk to somebody about your mental well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The rejection of Kanye West. Right? Because recently he did something pretty dramatic. He rocked the MAGA hat. And oh, you know that's not acceptable in the community.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
and that made him severely mentally ill.
Severely
mentally ill.
He's gone. Right?
Done.
He's gone. And I recall people on my timeline just being outraged. I recall just friends naming, like, we're done with him. We're not going to listen to his music. I'm not going to buy his shoes. There's this complete and utter rejection of this man because of the direction that he chose to go in politically.
Yeah. And so I also seen it with artists who have kind of been not in the public eye. For example, Macy Gray. Mm-hmm. I seen her. She wrote a sign. It was like, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but Kanye needs to get it together. Mm-hmm. Like, he's delusional.
Mm-hmm.
He's delusional.
Mm-hmm.
I think Snoop Dogg called them delusional,
mm-hmm.
right? Lost his mind.
Well, well, to know Kanye is to know that one of the terms he always uses is he's futuristic.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Kanye is saying that he spent time in this arena mm-hmm. of racial discomfort, the racial injustice. Again, I'm not saying that I agree, but from what I understand from Kanye, he's saying he spent time here and now he's a futuristic thinker. What would that mean to you?
So, okay, that's a lot. So I feel like that it brings me back to when he, so he, him and MTV have always had this relationship where he would get pissed off because they wouldn't give him what he felt he deserved. And so, and it was always, and it is, it's through this the racial lens of how MTV is racist. He's experienced so much institutional racism, and I feel like, what does that do to his body? What does that do to his emotions, his psyche, and all of that? And I feel as though that, so tell me, there's a lot. Tell me what else did you say?
Well, him being a futuristic thinker, right, and so putting that, it in conjunction with the MAGA hat.
Yes, yeah, so that part.
How could that be?
Yeah, yes. So that part. So he says that, and then before he dropped Ye, he dropped two tracks.
Okay.
And so one of his tracks, he says he put the MAGA hat on to shift, mm-hmm. essentially. Mm-hmm. To shift, and rather than it be about hate, he's trying to unite. Mm-hmm. With wearing that hat. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can see the perspective, right? But I'm just like,
yeah.
And then you go and you say what you say.
Yes.
So when you say that slavery is a choice,
yes.
whether you're processing aloud, you shouldn't be processing aloud at TMZ, number one.
Yeah.
And so I think that is where people are like, he's lost it. And I feel like that, you know, given the opportunity to be trained from a narrative approach and receive education on a broader, you know, what it is to be a therapist, I feel like that contextually speaking, I feel like that he's just creating.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's channeling all of his pain, all of his microaggressions, all of it, and this is what it's looking like.
And I think, sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
I also
good.
Think we have to be careful not to pathologize him because he has this belief that he can descend someone's hate and
right.
connect them in the way that he chooses, like his love
mm-hmm.
ascends, or he's a free thinker.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to be careful not to pathologize him in that way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that's what the rejection of Kanye West is, because you're gone. You're crazy.
Yeah.
You shouldn't say things that you're saying.
Right.
And you shouldn't be collaborating with someone who does seem to be or is an oppressor to so many people.
Exactly. And I think that's it right there. It's like, how could you?
Mm-hmm.
How could you? How could you? How could you? And then it's like, well, you must be crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we can be outraged. I totally think we can be outraged. But to totalize him in this idea of being crazy or mentally ill, I think it's something we should be careful about.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Ye.
Okay.
What were your first thoughts? Because you crossed the picket line by listening to his album. I just want to make sure you know that, right?
Which side are you on?
You have crossed the picket line, right? And so, I know what my first thoughts were when I listened to them. And I want you to share yours first.
So I was emotional for feelings. Feelings, I was emotional. This whole album had me feeling emotional. But my thoughts were, or and are, I like it. I feel like it's timely. Given the two most recent suicides that just happened a few days ago.
Yeah.
And one of his songs or his tracks, I Thought of Killing You.
Yeah.
It's suicide, homicide, you know, names it premeditated murder.
Yeah.
It's just really intense. So I'm just like, okay. And I feel the pain. I feel the sadness. I wonder if he's grieving his mother,
yes.
Donda.
Yes.
You know? And his title, I Hate My Bipolar, It's Great. And so he did his interview with Charlemagne the God.
Okay.
And so there he says he was diagnosed bipolar. Didn't say which medications he's using, but he's on a cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprised. And so we'll get into that a little later. We'll talk about the album right now. So, you know, then there's that piece of it. And so I'm like, okay, so what is it going to give us?
Yeah.
And so he did give us some, I felt like he did give us a lot of insight
yeah.
on his feelings, his suicidal ideation, what that looks like for him. But I also feel like he's giving us a lot of who Kanye is, you know, the roles that he plays that are many, many, you know, yeah, so I'll let you segue. Go ahead and tell me.
I too felt this emotional kind of connection. He reminded me of clients that I
for
have
sure.
the
for sure
that I have the privilege of sitting with.
Yeah,
right.
And yeah,
who have so boldly been willing to walk into our therapy room and really unveil who they are to us that they may not be able to unveil to everyone else.
Right.
And so for me, Kanye was vulnerable or is being vulnerable to the world.
Yeah.
Which
is huge.
It's huge, right? Like, if you think about being able to name out loud this idea of, I thought about killing you. Like, if we just sit in that, the
right.
power of that, and potentially the meaning behind it is him talking about suicide, because he even names this idea of premeditated murder, which we never really get to tap into the mind of someone who possibly has been on the brink. We do, but most people
right.
don't get the opportunity to talk to someone who has been on the brink of suicide.
Right.
And so he really does a beautiful job of normalizing. And I found myself wondering, what if the Anthony Bourdains of the world, the Kate Spades of the world, would have been able to say to somebody openly, like, I thought about killing you.
Right.
And people really being able to hear that.
And contain it and hold it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And hold it for them. Mm-hmm. What do you think that could mean? One, for suicide ideation, right? That people are willing to say, I don't think there's something wrong with you, but I do possibly hear you crying for help.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
So with that, that was one of the things that stood out very much for me, was the I thought of killing you. There's another lyric in, I think it's Yikes.
Okay.
I think he says, I scare myself myself.
Mm.
Right? Like, for me, what came to mind is sometimes my thoughts get scary.
Yeah. Yes.
I scare myself.
Right.
From myself. What,
yeah.
Yeah. What's coming up for you?
So when I heard that, that track as well, I was like, yeah, whoa, this is me. Like, I feel like oftentimes my thoughts are like, so I could definitely relate to Yikes, for sure. And then there's Ghost Town.
Yes.
And Ghost Town is around, so he cuts and, so he's a producer. So he like samples tracks and puts them in. And so there's a part he talks about taking fentanyl and, you know, I feel like that, he talks about how oftentimes, and it could be anything, fentanyl, any kind of
medication,
whether it be medicinal or not, you know, prescribed pharmaceutical, you feel free.
Yeah.
And he says that. And so I feel like that he's speaking to a lot of what I feel like a lot of individuals walking this planet are experiencing.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like I related to that track as well.
He gives us this range of emotions.
Yeah.
He starts us off with this, I thought about killing you, to violent crimes, where he is expressing how he feels as a father and what he hopes for his daughter. And
right.
He's telling her a story about how he recognizes what men are like.
Right.
Right. So we go from this very much like, oh my God, intense, like you feel for him emotionally, to this loving dude who has come to a place of realizing who he is within that family structure. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that that's the flow of it for me too, where he's very intense, and then we see him be this fun Kanye on it's either All Mine or Wouldn't Leave.
Okay.
And yeah, and it's just around, it's about sex.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that you see Kanye move through his range of emotions.
Yes.
So it's like the sexual song, and then you have the emotional songs, and then you have like, I'm also a father, I'm also raising some children, and I'm also, you know, have a family. And so, yeah, we definitely see him sharing various aspects of his life, his human life.
So I'm going to read something to you. Recently, I found an article from the Washington Post.
Okay.
It was a review of the album.
Okay.
And it's written by a gentleman by the name of Jeff Weiss. And it's entitled, Kanye West's Ye is the unedited ramblings of the world's oldest adolescent. Mm. That title alone astonished me.
Mm-hmm.
That in him being vulnerable around his mental thoughts, that someone, granted it's his opinion, could come to this this conclusion that he is the world's oldest adolescent. He almost as if there's a selfishness about it. I think he even called it a self-serious 23-minute crayon pamphlet of luxurious emptiness.
Wow.
He said, Ye limps along as vacant and inert as the Wyoming skyline on its cover. Damn. Right? Like,
took for real?
Like,
right.
And you know, when I read it, I was like, well, damn, what am I missing? Because I absolutely adore this piece of work from him, but yet people aren't connecting him with being authentic, yeah. Not being the Ye that they want him to be.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think for me is like, okay, so who wrote it? Jeff Weiss or Weiss?
Weiss.
Mm-hmm. Weiss. I'm assuming that that's, he's a man. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure of his ethnicity, but going back to the point that the world does not, if you are expressing yourself, well, you're weak. Mm-hmm. Well, you are an adolescent. You're a child. Mm-hmm. Why are you crying? Mm-hmm. Why are you crying? Mm-hmm. So that's what's coming up for me as you bring this in. And I'm like, it's, you know, it's masculinity. And if you're masculine, well, you better not have no emotions. You better be stoic as fuck.
Yes.
Oops, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to get
that. Hey, I mean, it's all good. You know? You have to be stoic.
You have to be stoic, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know what it's like to be a black man, but as a black man, yeah. Why are you crying?
Yes.
You know, like, yes. Why are you crying?
Yes.
So I think that that's that title and then saying that, mm-hmm. like, limps along as a vacant and inert, like, that's, you're limping, so now you're weak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's yep. what comes up for me.
And some of the language that he used was very pathologizing. He said, you don't have to squint hard to see the lobotomized remnants of what once was.
Mm. So shall we talk about
lobotomize, yes. Well, back in the day, I mean, I'm not even going to try to attempt to know. The only thing I know about lobotomy, truth be told, is about the Kennedys. I believe one of the Kennedy children had a lobotomy. And so it has to do something with the brain. When they thought that you were mentally ill, doctors would perform a surgery, take out aspects of your brain, and they were hoping to fix you. But most of the times, from what I recall, a lobotomy left you numb, not present.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what he's naming.
Yeah, yeah. A lot comes up for me with that, like the Get Out movie and the history of lobotomies and people of color. And so this article sounds racist.
So, Dawn Marie, is there anything that you think we need to acknowledge before we wrap up?
I feel like we, let's acknowledge the anger of our communities around Trump, but not necessarily.
Definitely around Trump, yes.
Yes, be angry. Around.
Righteously indignant.
Right. Around Kanye West wearing the MAGA hat and taking the photograph, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, so there's that. And so, yeah.
Absolutely.
So
it, and everything that the MAGA hat represents right. for our communities, mm-hmm. right? This oppressive, racist, xenophobic type of
hate clan group.
Right. And for Kanye West to have put that on could cause people great frustration.
He's off the block, right? He's off the block. And that's understandable. Yeah. And it's understandable.
It is.
Yeah. And so, I felt deep sadness and anger and confusion.
Yep.
And all of that. Like, what is going on here?
Yep.
I was like, am I going to have to throw Kanye away?
Right.
You know, like, no.
Right.
So it's just, and I feel like this, you know, acknowledge that. Like, we have every right to feel that way.
Absolutely. We don't want you to think that we did not have those same ranges of emotions mm-hmm. when it pertained to Kanye West and how Kanye West showed up mm-hmm. that day that he chose to rock the MAGA hat. Mm-hmm. And so we stand in solidarity with you all Absolutely. In regards to that. What would you, as we wrap up, what would you want people to know about your feelings in regards to Kanye West? As a mental health professional, mm-hmm. as a therapist, mm-hmm. what would be something you would want the audience to know?
Listen to the album. I think that just listening to his story and kind of challenge the narratives that we're hearing from the mainstream and challenge the labeling that if you know, we ourselves begin to put it on anyone, you know, we're talking about Kanye West right now, but on Kanye West, you know, just critique, think critically, develop your own thoughts. And I mean, it's okay to feel sadness. It's okay to, you know, grieve our parents. It's okay. And sometimes we don't know how to do that. So oftentimes, you know, it's also okay to find a therapist. It's also okay to ask our friends if we maybe don't want to call ourselves, or, you know, it's okay to reach out. It's okay.
Thank you. And I would just end by saying, for me, Kanye West is my brother. He is a client. He is a son, someone's son. Mm-hmm. Kanye West is an everyday average Joe that holds a great platform, and sometimes it may be difficult to manage. And so I too encourage you to listen to the album and critique for yourself and decide what it is Kanye is trying to tell you in his story. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say thank you, Dawn Marie, for spending this time with me and being willing to partner with me on this conversation. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Dr. Chris Hoff mm-hmm. for allowing us to have this moment, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have more.
Hopefully, yeah. Thank you, Brian. And you all out there watching, if you have any comments, questions, if you just want to critique us, please provide that down in the comment section, and hopefully you'll be seeing more of us on The Radical Therapist.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching this video. I'm Dr. Chris Hoff. This is The Radical Therapist channel. If you'd like to subscribe to my channel, you can do that right over here. And if you'd like to see another video, you can do that right here. And as always, I appreciate the support. Well, there you have it. That was a wonderful conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. They will be coming back to The Radical Therapist, I'm sure, talking about whatever they want to talk about. I just enjoy listening in and kind of being able to witness and be invited into that conversation. And I learn a lot. So, and I hope you did too. I hope you found that way. And if you did, please, you know, tell us on iTunes in the rate and review section, or go to the YouTube channel, watch the video, and please comment, like the video or comment. They would love to see your comments. And of course, share it if you could. And of course, subscribe to the channel. They are going to be back. Subscribe to the channel, hit the bell, and that would be great. And if you want to reach out to The Radical Therapist, you can do that at our email, theradicaltherapist@gmail.com. Our Instagram site, The Radical Therapist. We're on Twitter at The Rad Therapist. And you can get Brian and Dawn Marie's Twitter addresses on the video too, if you go to the video. So you can connect, you can reach out and connect to them. And we have a website, theradicaltherapist.com. So, you know, come find us, talk to us, let us know what you think. We'd really appreciate it. So, well, as always, This has been The Radical Therapist. My name is Chris Hoff, and thanks for listening.